Chase his fear away. Chase his fear away.
Welcome to the Max Velocity Athletics Jump In It podcast. I'm your host, Jeremy Fisher. And as usual, I will go into depth about all things track, training, speed, agility, all the good things, and kind of give you my over 23 years of experience and the do's and don'ts of trying to coach athletes from all power and speed events. Again, welcome captains, coaches, athletes, parents, teachers, administrators, instructors, newbies, and supporters. And going on with kind of what we were talking about in training design and training plan, this time we're going to talk about the strength training and kind of how to lay it out. So we've been talking about periodization and how important it is to put exercises in certain things. We talked about the annual plan, the design, periodization, the five biomotor abilities, specificity, general training, and today we'll talk a little bit about strength training. And so, I just got back from talking two talks. One was at the Wisconsin Coaches Association, so thanks for having me, and I enjoyed seeing a lot of my old teammates, and them not being old, but just teammates I've had that I've known for a long time. And then we did the annual athlete kind of clinic we do in Hawaii for all the Hawaii athletes. We had over 200 coaches and athletes there, and Wisconsin had almost 1,100 coaches, which is pretty amazing, and have had great feedback from both. And so one of the things that I think I get a lot of questions about is strength training and how to design and implement it. And getting back to that, I talked specifically about how I think one of the hardest jobs to have is a high school coach. High school coach, you get athletes from different sports. You're not as, you know, the athletes tend not to have a training age, which is how many years they've been training at a high level, in comparison to, you know, their chronological age, which is just the age they're at. And a lot of them are not as developed. And so trying to develop that training and trying to develop their ability to perform. And as coaches, you try to figure out, okay, what can I do best to make these athletes, perform when they have to. And so when I talk about my level of the elite level, a little time in college, but I haven't been in college for a while now, but at the elite level, the preparation is really easy. I mean, this year especially, there's really no reason for an indoor championship unless you're European. And you got European indoors, and that's important. But for a U.S. athlete, there's really no reason to do indoors. So it's a really easy preparation to get ready for U.S. championships, which are in the first week in July, and then the World Championships are at the end of August. And as you can see, it's very hard for an athlete to perform at a very high level in the months of January, February, and still be able to carry both health and that high level of achievement until August. I mean, it's just a long time. Not saying it's impossible, it's just a long, long time to do it. So this year is a really easy build. We spent the months of November and December really taking our time, developing balance, stability, core strength, mobility, all those different things that if we were doing it indoors, we wouldn't have been able to take the time to do. And we've just been building, with January running a lot. Strength levels really high, testing in January. Now we're starting to really put some stuff behind us as far as speed and building that, and then building a nice technical base very methodically and progressively. So in a normal, and I'll just say kind of a one, and people don't like the word peak. I don't care. You can call it a peak, and holding that peak for 6 to 8 weeks or 10 weeks, however long that the athlete can do it, is a fantastic thing. But, you know, there is a limitation of how athletes can hold that super high level that they're trying to achieve. So for me, really early on, I'm doing which we just called general strength training. For me, I think the strength to weight ratio is important. So I'm not doing a lot of hypertrophy lifts and where we're trying to gain muscle mass and stuff like that. We also are trying to do, in this early season general strength training, I like full ranges of motion. So we're squatting, we're doing box step-ups where the back of our tibia to our femur is at 90 degrees. We're doing deadlifts off the ground, you know, things like that where we're getting a lot more deep. We're using the full range of motion. But again, when I'm doing this, I really have the athletes at like 40 or 50% of their estimated 1 RM. And so I'm really trying to build just, you know, that whole kinematic sequence, building, you know, the tendon ligament strength, teaching those muscle spindle fibers and Golgi tendon organs and everything to, you know, be able to fire from a really stretched position, getting the rate coding, getting the recruitment of muscles. So we're doing slow range and it's just general strength training. And we're probably about anywhere 40 to 50, maybe even 60% of our one RM. And then from there, after I build about a, you know, 4 to 5 week base, I'm developing the athlete to get comfortable with lifting, then I like to hit what I call max strength. Now my max strength's different. I think in the throwers, maybe definitely in the shot putters, max strength is really critical. I feel that you have to be careful with field event athletes and power athletes like sprinters and multi-eventers when you're doing max strength. And the reason I say that is because a lot of times the athletes, like I'll use an example of a person like a Tydre Lewis, which I had at University of Oklahoma. Tydre could squat 600 pounds. But Tydre also had about a 28-inch waist. So putting all that pressure on his spine was bad. And so, you know, I used to do it the old strength training way where we were maxing up, trying to do 1 RM, all that kind of stuff. And you know, he kept irritating his back every time we max lifted. And people can say, oh, well, maybe he had bad form. No, he had really good form. It just was that his frame didn't hold his ability to create power. I mean, one of the best testers I've ever had, one of the strongest athletes I've had pound for pound. And so I learned from that after a couple of mistakes is that for his squat, we would start to do like 3 RMs or for some of the squat things. Now I still do a 1 RM for cleans, you know, and I believe in that because it's a form. If it's poorly caught or it's really a struggle to catch, I won't give the athlete that rep. I won't allow, that's not going to be their max. So it's got to be good form and it's got to be done well. Same with squatting. And so we do a 3 rep max in that max lifting era. I probably am only getting to an estimated 85 to 90% for a power speed athlete. Them doing an extra 15 to 20 kilos is not indicative of how fast they're going to run or how far they're going to jump. And it's not worth the little bit of estimated gains that we would get. I just don't see that. So we're usually doing 85 to 90%, and that's the most of a 1 RM. So after we get out of the max strength, we get into a strength endurance. And you have to be careful with the strength endurance because this is where hypertrophy can happen. So yes, you get high levels of hormones released, and you know we're starting to see the testosterone's pumping through the veins. If you look, you know, that especially the female athletes, they start getting really kind of shredded during this time. The guys can potentially, if you go too high, will start to get gain a little bit of mass also. So for me, usually for the max strength, I'm only going from like 10, 12, 14, maybe 16 reps at the most. And so not trying to get more than that, even though some, you know, would believe you go to exhaustion, and we're looking at percentages of like 50 and 60% when we're doing that. And it's a nice 4 week cycle, and we tend to do 3 sets of those. So after the strength endurance, then I like to get into a eccentric phase. And so we're doing eccentric lifts, so that can really working on negatives, and we're really working on isometrics during this time too. So I like the athletes to be able to do eccentrics work on that eccentric ability, because again, everything that we do has braking support propulsion or eccentric isometric amortization and concentric. So we have a nice eccentric phase, and it, the creativity becomes really fun during that phase. And then from after the isometric eccentric phase, then we get into two different kind of power phases. We get into a power strength, and then we get into a power speed. So I like to hold a lot of power speed where we're moving the bar really fast. We're talking about 40 to 50% of our 1 RM, moving the bar super, super fast. This is where the Kaiser, if you have it, is fantastic. Also, another thing in that eccentric, to kind of take a step back, is that's when I like to use the eccentric machines or the K-Box and stuff like that too. Now, getting back to, that power strength. The power strength, we say 50 to 60%, and we're trying to move it as fast as we can. And power speed, we're looking at 40 to 50%, and we're trying to move it as fast as we can. And we're looking at like 4 to 5 reps, usually, or 4 to 5 sets with anywhere from 3 to 6 reps. And so we're really trying to move things super fast. Also, during this time, I also like to do mix things with PAP or post-active potentiation. So again, we talked about specificity. So maybe we're doing squats where the bar is only moving like 20 degrees through a range of motion. So we're doing really shallow squats. We're doing heavy weights, and then we're doing maybe boxed jumps in between sets and things like that, or hurdle hops or something like that. Single leg squats. And then after the single leg squat with we might be doing bounding between sets and stuff like that. So I really like to do some of those post-active potentiation, especially in the power strength and power speed. And we can still, maintain our strength levels and stuff like that. Some coaches I heard like to stay at 80% when they're kind of gearing into championship, or the 70 to 80% with lower ranges of motion. I think that's a good percentage and good angles to be at. And that gets into specificity. And then maintenance, I mean, that's the big thing. And so we're maintaining through that. We can't stay more than 4 to 5 weeks to a cycle. So we're kind of mixing it up, but we're going back and forth between the power speed, power strength. And we're starting to do obviously a lot more specific with correlation exercises. And we're also doing moving through that post-active potentiation and all that, and addressing those strength levels. And then don't forget the out of season. After we take a break, I like the athletes, I give them a whole bunch of exercises to do in the weight room. But again, it's more maintenance things. It's usually like 3 to 8, 3 to 10, not heavy, maybe 40%, but it just keeps them active. As athletes get older, and if they get true rest, actually some of the tendons, ligaments, muscles, all that kind of stuff will put the athletes in, and they'll end up having soreness, or they'll have some kind of ache during the off season because of the fact that they're not doing exercises that are relieving some of the odd positions that they naturally are going into. So those are things to definitely address. But that's just kind of how I lay out my my lifting and what I'm looking at for the athletes, depending on if we're doing an indoor-outdoor kind of competition, or we're just doing, for us, for the American athletes, it's literally get ready for USAs and get ready for the World Championships. And then again, for my Asian athletes this year, it's going to be get ready for the World Championships, and then get ready again for the Asian Championships, which are at the end of September. So looking at that, we're taking our time, we're making sure that we're developing the strength levels, going through each of those tiers and our cycles, and addressing each one of those strength components. So again, tune in next time, and we'll talk a little bit more about training. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll catch you soon.